It's time for the Secrets of Staffing Success from Haley Marketing. Candid conversations with entrepreneurs and thought leaders in staffing and recruiting.
How do you guys differentiate yourselves from your competitors? Is ACA a threat or an opportunity for the staffing industry? How can the staffing industry improve the candidate experience? What will be keeping you up at night over the next 2 years?
And here's your host, Todd Lewandowski.
Welcome to the Secrets of Staffing Success. It is a beautiful 77-degree day, sunny, not a cloud in the sky here in Buffalo, New York. And for early October, we will take that because, you know, by the time this episode actually airs, we may have snow on the ground. You never know. Thought about taking my equipment outside and recording today's episode on my patio, but never know when the neighbor is going to fire up their lawnmower or when the dog's going to start barking. So, alas, I'll have to suffer inside, but I'm very excited to bring you guys another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success. Our guest this week is the president and COO of At Work Personnel Services. He's Jason Leverant. Jason, thank you so much for joining us on Secrets of Staffing Success.
Thanks so much, Todd, for having me. Looking forward to our discussion.
Well, we like to do this at the top of every interview here. Give us your 60-second elevator pitch for At Work.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, so At Work, just a quick note, we are a national franchisor of staffing services. So we add a little bit of an interesting wrinkle to the equation. As our organization, we've got roughly right under 100 branch locations across the country in 27 states, but we're made up of independently owned branches. Each of our branches, for the most part, is owned by a franchise owner. So we have that local ownership aspect in each and every one of our markets, and that local ownership really drives the focus on service and a high level of service that's really indicative of an At Work branch. So it's exciting to be a part of the staffing industry, and exciting to be able to help people enter the staffing industry and find the fulfilling careers and the success and the enjoyment we get from being a part of this awesome industry.
Talk a little bit about what it means to be president COO. What is kind of your day-to-day job include?
It's interesting because when I look at the role, you know, I've been with the company for 10 years now. I started in 2007. This will be my 10th year here in, 2 weeks. I'll be with At Work for 10 years. And it feels like I've done the same thing the whole time, which is really done my best to help drive and make At Work one of the best staffing companies in the United States, the best franchise organization in the staffing industry in the U.S. And so it's you know, here at Work, we wear a lot of hats and we get involved in a lot of things. Now, we've grown over the last 10 years, and we've brought a lot of amazing team members in that are really focused and really industry leaders in what they really do, from franchise development, sales, support, marketing. So I've got an amazing team that surrounds me that really helps drive the At Work brand, the At Work mission, to help us grow and really focus on, you know, what's next in the life cycle. So my day to day obviously is really driving the organization forward. You know, looking at the brand, taking the brand to new heights, to taking from a standpoint of public relations and that awareness around the At Work brand, really elevating it. And ensuring that it's something that is that we can grow, something that entrepreneurs who want to join a franchise organization really want to be a part of. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of, you know, a very high level overview of what I do on a day to day. There are lots of, you know, non glamorous things that go along with that, obviously, as being, you know, running a large commercial staffing firm. But it's something that it's really exciting, and I enjoy every day and every minute of it.
You mentioned the growth, and I know you guys have been recognized as one of the fastest growing staffing firms by staffing industry analysts. And while that fast growth is awesome, I know it comes with some growing pains. What have been some of your most challenging growth issues that you guys have experienced over the past couple of years?
Yeah, it's been a wild ride. Really, these last 3 years have been just absolutely stellar when it comes to growth. The last update, we ran a press release back in July, and we closed out July 17, 2017. We were running, I think it was close to 19% over previous year over year. Our same store are running in the 11.5-12% range on same store growth as well. So seeing that level of growth, doubling, almost tripling the industry averages, it's amazing. But again, you referenced it; it comes with its own set of challenges. I joke with folks sometimes and say it's like we're, you know, it's like we're trying to run tractor trailers on an interstate where we've just got to gravel roads down it. You know, you've got this massive load barreling through. And you've got to, you know, as it's happening, you've got to lay the framework, lay the groundwork. And for us, you know, it's funny when you step back and look at our organization and our structure, while slightly different than most, it's similar in many ways. A franchise organization is a service-based company. We're servicing our owners who are servicing their customers out in the field. Yeah. So at the end of the day, what we do is, you know, there are some core quantifiable aspects to what we do as a franchisor, but a lot of it is that warm and fuzzy. It's that value add. It's the service perspective that's intangible. So when you grow, you know, that's that challenge, that kind of inherent challenge with growth, especially in a service-based organization. How do you grow quickly while maintaining that same high level of service that got you there in the first place, that brought the growth in the first place? And so that's where we need to look at continuing to build our infrastructure in the staffing realm is the same way. As we grow our branches, if we want to continue to focus on our mission we've simplified back in 2011 to be at work for you. It's a service forward mission that's focused on servicing our customers. We embody that mission here at our corporate headquarters. When we service our franchisees, we have that same mindset. We're at work for them as our franchise owners. So that focus on service is really, really critical. And as you grow and you're pulled in 1,000 different directions, how do you continue to offer that same high level of service? So you've got to keep focusing on that aspect. You've got to keep focusing on building your infrastructure around it. If it's not adding more people or throwing bodies at the problem, that's not always the solution. The solution may be finding efficiencies in what you really do. Is there ways to automate certain practices? And honestly, with technology moving at the breakneck pace that it is, it's awesome to see that technology has come into play that's helped try to alleviate some of those components and really allowed staff to do more with less.
What's been the best technological investment that you guys have made over the past years to help manage that?
Well, you know, there's so many different components to that. Obviously, for us, we're a multi-branch staffing organization. We have 100 branches. We have lots of staff out in the field. And we found, and I think this may be a challenge that many deal with, is that in multi-branch operations, franchise or not, the branches that are out in the field may feel like they're on their own little islands. You know, they might have a shared service center. They might have a corporate headquarters they can call into or has to call into check credit limits and things like that. But that becomes that, you know, that ivory castle in the sky that they never really see or go to or anything like that. So how do you bring the size? How do you leverage the size of the organization? How do you really promote communication? How do you bring people together? And so one of my favorite ways that we were to do that is we actually effectively implemented a pretty powerful internet platform within our organization, which allowed us to have so many great features that allow people to come together to collaborate, to share, effectively almost our own mini social media boards. That's been some of my favorite implementation. And so I guess the answer to your question, my favorite thing has been really our company intranet. And we partnered with a group that specializes in that. We didn't try to home grow it. While I do, there's some components of software that I'm okay with trying to build our own, something like that. I found that if we were to try to emulate some of the best in industry options that are out there, that we couldn't touch it. So we partnered with a third party to implement a really robust intranet platform that allows our teams to communicate very, very well, to share documents and data. It's just absolutely phenomenal. It's been awesome. Another tool that we implemented that kind of went in conjunction with that was a messaging platform called Slack. I do mention that by name because it's free. It's open source. I don't know if it's necessarily open source, but it's free. You can get out on the internet and create a team or a group for your organization. Get on there and play with it. It's a really awesome tool. Very much like the old messaging boards or bulletin boards from back in the early days of the internet.
Yeah.
But definitely friendly, easy to use, and such an awesome tool to engage staff and bring groups of people together that geographically may span the entire country, but allow them to engage, to network, to talk, share best practices. Just awesome tools to do that. So it not only allows everybody to get connected, it allows mind share thoughts, it helps with employee engagement and satisfaction. People feel like they're part of a bigger team and not on their own little island. So,
yeah, we use Slack at Haley Marketing too. I think it's just a great tool because as we've grown, we've also had people that are working in different cities too, and just it makes it so much easier. It's like they're right there with you. So, definitely.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, it's a great tool. You mentioned some of the unique management challenges, and I know with working with franchises in the past, you've got, especially the size of yours, I'm sure you've got the people who you kind of hear from once in a while. You've got the people that, well, they'll chime in on a regular basis. Then you've got the people who will probably be contacting you all the time and want to give their input into every single decision. How do you balance what's best for the company as a whole versus those more vocal offices?
That is an amazing question because you hit the nail on the head. There's definitely that dynamic among you can apply this label to franchise owners. It could be branch managers. It could be regional mm-hmm. managers, district managers in your organization. You have multiple inputs that really, if you've got a really strong team developed, should all carry equal weight. Yeah. And so how do you really take that input, that feedback, and bring it to light? You know, when you're steering an organization for us with 100 branches, you know, we're pushing really phenomenal growth. For us to implement change while we're still, I still feel we're nimble enough to make changes relatively easily. Changes impact a lot of folks. Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, when we look at trying to take these changes into consideration and say, okay, what do we do, especially some core structural changes, operational changes to how we feel branches should be laid out from the standpoint of sales, recruitment, blended desks, so on and so forth. You know, those core components in our positioning, it is difficult. You know, when you have owners who all have vested interest in the success of their branch, true vested interest, where you know, they have, obviously the opportunity to grow their bottom line and put money in their own pockets. It's really critical. And it's on the flip side, it's even more so as a franchisor, why we should listen to them, right? Mm-hmm. So we've got to balance and weigh those suggestions. We struggle with that because we get a lot of great suggestions, but we really just can't implement them all. One of the things that we did 2 years ago now, no, excuse me, 3 years ago now, was implement a franchise advisory council. And so for us, it's effectively a steering committee. So regardless if you're a franchise or not, if you're just a company-owned type operation, we had a steering committee that helps us to make decisions. And in our steering committee, we initially hand selected specific franchise owners of different backgrounds, different experience levels within the industry, different performance levels within our organization to add a kind of a really good perspective. And so for us, that steering committee helps us to make those decisions. Some of those decisions that we feel aren't just givens. We bring it to the advisory council. And this is, you know, again, our owners are day to day out there in their markets, growing and developing their businesses. They know what they need. So we take their input. We bring the ideas together. We brainstorm them together on a quarterly meeting, and we bring it back to the organization. That helps us kind of enact change. And so we do listen. I mean, since I've been in the president COO role since end of 2011, 2012, it's been my focus to continue and for us to improve what we do every single day to really drive positive change that helps grow the At-Work brand. And so there's lots of things to do. The question is, in what order, what priority do we do these things? And that's where the FAC was such a wonderful opportunity to be able to get everybody in an environment, at least a group of owners that are really leaders in the organization, the most engaged of franchise owners for us in the organization, to help make those decisions, to help point us in the direction that makes the most impact to the group. Now, you know, obviously, ultimately, the FAC for us, the advisory council for us, is meant to be a kind of a neutral space where people speak their mind. Nobody's feelings get hurt. We talk candidly about how to improve the organization. And for us, you know, as a corporate office, you know, we're behind it all the day, and we have to make it a point to not get our feelings hurt, to not get offended yeah. by what comes up. And honestly, it's that whole idea that we need to reflect on it. And, you know, if that's the perspective and opinion of the advisory council to hold, we always base it on it's a 5-franchise council. So it's an odd number. There's always a majority in decision-making and things like that. It helps us to really steer the ship in a way that not only keeps our franchise owners really excited and happy about being part of the organization, they know that their voices can be heard. They know that they can make an impact. So it's really, it's awesome. That helped really drive seeing what's most important and how to enact change. Obviously, there's some things that we can enact that we can do very quickly without having to consult with an advisory council, and we just put it into play. If it's a good suggestion, if it's easier, or it's one of those things that can be optional, we put those changes out into play. But again, like I said, we've structured our organization so that we're constantly listening. We're constantly adapting to the market conditions. We're constantly adapting to the demand from our franchisees of what they're really looking for, and we listen and we enact change because of it. So.
I have to imagine, you know, you're in the hiring business, essentially. When you're looking to bring on a new franchise, though, it's very similar to hiring somebody. You want to make sure that they're a good fit. Well, what are the most important things that you guys look for when you're evaluating a potential franchisee?
It's funny because when I talk to our franchise sales folks, and we have a great team that helps us find those partners. I tell them, you know, we're in the staffing industry, so they're effectively search consultants. They're executive headhunters, and they only have one job order. It's a standing job order that's open all the time. The only challenge with this job order is that you're asking somebody to leave a salaried position and actually, you know, pay us to join our organization and take a leap of faith. And you know, again, it's that special candidate. But you hit the nail on the head. You know, we are effectively filling probably one of the world's hardest to fill job orders. It's funny because I look at the tools that are available in that world, in the franchise sales world, and you know, they have, and it's funny because in staffing, we always get in our own little, you know, kind of tunnels, if you will. They have some of the most amazing applicant tracking software in the franchise sales world because they're literally tracking for that one really hard to fill job all the time. Yeah. Anyways, that's a different conversation. To your question though, I mean, when we're looking at a franchise owner, and you could probably take these tips when it comes to really bringing on any staff member, any branch manager or regional or division or divisional or VP level position in the industry, we're looking for somebody motivated, engaged, interested in the staffing industry. Sales experience is a tremendous, tremendous positive for us. So that's what we look for, somebody who's got sales experience in their past. But if they don't, do they have managerial experience? Have they managed teams of salespeople in the past? Do they have high performance in their background? Have they grown professionally in roles? You know, I personally like to see somebody who throws themselves into whatever industry they're in. So if we look for somebody from a certain background or industry, what have they done not only with their job secularly, what have they done outside of that, whether it be through trade association work or work to engage or really better the state or condition that they're in, something that I'm passionate about. You know, in the staffing industry, you know, my position has always been, if we can make this industry a better place for everybody, guess what? It's a better place for me too. So looking at that side of it, if I see that similar type of mindset in a franchise, potential franchise owner, those are all positive cues on someone that will step in and really just do an amazing job. They've got to have energy, enthusiasm, resilience, all the core qualities that are universal to somebody, a high performer in the staffing industry. At the end of the day, though, the difference in the staffing franchising world is there's nobody over their shoulder outside of us as a franchisor making them go out and do the things they need to do to be successful. So they've got to be able to get out the door and be a self-starter and be motivated to do so. Great question, by the way. It's interesting. I'm sure it's a perspective most people don't think about, but those are you know, kind of the traits that we look for in somebody who will be successful in the industry.
Yeah, and you kind of led me into my next question, which was going to be, you know, how much autonomy do these franchises have? Do you guys have a set sales process, sales tactics that all of the franchisees must follow, or are they on their own to kind of do it how they see best?
Well, that's the beautiful thing about our franchise model. We have all those tools. We've got the metrics, the KPIs, we've got the sales models. We've worked with you know, really lots of different models and types, and really settled on a few different ways to really approach the market from a sales and recruitment perspective. Really, excited to have recently rolled out. We partnered closely with Tom Urban Talent Resources to work on some proprietary sales and recruitment processes as well. So little attaboy to Mr. Herb there.
We actually have Tom coming up on the show in a couple weeks. So that's a nice segue.
Well,
thank you.
Listen to next week's podcast for Mr. Tom Herb. Yeah, a little shameless plug there. But anyways, Tom was great to work with. But honestly, when people come to a franchise, they want that model. They want the structure. To you know, a lot of times, and many people will say this directly to us, I'm not looking to reinvent the wheel. You guys know how to grow a business in the staffing industry. I want to follow the process that you took to grow where you are today. Let's, you know, plug it in and let's go and do this. So definitely, yes, we have the model. We've got the processes. Ultimately, it's up to the owner and their teams to execute those processes. And so it's you know, again, do we mandate it? If somebody comes up with good ideas and are finding success outside of our model, yeah, more power to them. That's great. But many times we realize and we see that at the end of the day, the highest performing offices, the most successful offices, are the ones that are taking the model, taking the processes that we're implementing and pushing out them in the field and really embracing them, jumping on board and going to town with it, and they find success that way. And at the end of the day, it goes back to, you know, I made an expression. I think you were actually, may have been at our franchise conference in Nashville when I said this, I joke around saying that franchise owners do it better. And in a service-based industry, when you have when you have owners who have a vested interest, i.e. it's their money on the line, they have a vested interest in the success of that office. So 9 times out of 10, and again, we've got the best of staffing metrics and NPS scores to really back all this. Our growth should be proof positive enough there that when owners get involved and they do it, they're taking it to the next level. They're doing it better than anybody else, because at the end of the day, you know, when they go home on Friday, the business comes with them, because the business is them at the end of the day. So it does make a tremendous impact in the performance of the branches. So I joke when we talk about our sales growth, I feel like we've got our chips stacked. We have because we have such a great model, I feel, a great brand, great presence, great tools, great team behind it, phenomenal franchise owners. That's why we perform so well. That's why our sales numbers are what they are. It's just such a great formula, and to see it executed and see the results behind it, to be able to back everything I'm saying, is just such a cool thing.
All right, we're going to take a real quick break. When we get back, we're going to talk with Jason about some of the lessons or wisdom that he's learned from mistakes he's made in the past. It's all coming up right here on the Secrets of Staffing Success.
This is Brad Biley, Social Media Marketing Advisor with Haley Marketing Group. Anybody can be good at social media, but to be truly great at social media, you need to understand your goals, outline your strategies, and identify the tactics that are going to lead you to success. With Social Pro by Haley Marketing Group, one of our social media marketing advisors will coach you and your company through the steps. Our world-class social media marketing solution is designed to generate more applications and increase job orders. Interested in learning more about Social Pro? Contact us today at 888-696-2900.
Welcome back to the Secrets of Staffing Success. We're talking with Jason Leverant from At Work Personnel Services. When we hear leaders talk in any industry, really, not just the staffing industry, but, you know, you listen to other podcasts with, you know, super successful CEOs and founders of businesses, it always seems that the majority of their wisdom and their experience and their growth comes not from the success, but from the failures, the mistakes that they've made. Can you ever think back to, you know, a mistake or a failure that you've had in the industry here that you've learned from and that you still use that wisdom from to this day?
That is an awesome question. You hit me with a curveball here. honestly, I mean, from the standpoint of mistakes, I guess I could say, and maybe this is a flaw that I've already tried to correct, really, has been around the idea of, and I don't want to get too in the weeds on margin discussions and things of that sort, but my thought has always been from a pricing perspective. Don't get nervous. Don't sell yourself short when it comes to pricing and bill rates. Everyone, especially in the sales role, and that's where I started in the industry, was primarily sales and business development. And if you have confidence in what you're selling, regardless of economic conditions, don't sell yourself short. Don't come in and quote, you can always go down, you can never go back up. That's kind of the pep talk I give to the folks, and that's something I learned over time. Even in a commercial staffing environment, even in office clerical light industrial environments, you know, don't sell yourself short. There's value in what we do. You know, from a margin perspective, guard your margins. What we do has value. And so, you know, obviously there's a great book. A guy named Jack Carew, I think he wrote a book called You'll Never Get No for an Answer. It's all about sales positioning. It's all about finding value in what you do. It's all about positioning as a peer to the client that you're working with. Those clients hold tremendous buying power, but at the end of the day, if we've got candidates that we can put to work, there's going to be a client out there that appreciates what we're doing. So find those customers. So at the end of the day, I guess that would be the kind of the thought process. Embolden yourself as a salesperson in the industry. Anybody's doing business development, you know, don't be afraid to say no to a customer. Don't be afraid to fire a customer if they're not performing well. You know, the other end of the spectrum, Mike, you could go into the risk management element. Don't get seduced by the sale, specifically in an area where the risk may be too great and the margin too low. You know, primarily work comp. Work comp can really derail a commercial staffing branch or office clerk. I mean, office clerical administrative, really anybody in the hourly staffing arena outside of direct hire where there's really work comp is not an issue. You know, don't get seduced by the sale. And if there's inherent risk, make sure you price accordingly and you're prepared to take those risks that come along with it.
I know you're very big into giving back to ASA. You were even one of the volunteers of the year last year. Why is volunteering so important to you, and how has that experience helped you become a better leader for At Work?
You know, I guess I'll answer that question in reverse. I love to volunteer. I love to get out there. I'm definitely passionate about the staffing industry. I love to see the industry grow to move in a positive direction, because I know how we perform in the industry. I know we're leaders in the industry. We've, again, we've got the stats to back it. We've got the performance to back it. So if with my involvement, if I can help make an impact in the industry for the positive, if I can make an impact for the good and make this industry overall a better climate, a better place to be for myself, for our franchisees, for our teams, more power to us. That helps us out tremendously, exponentially, again, based on the statistics. So again, I get involved, I give back. It may be a bit self-serving in the fact that, hey, it can help me. It helps us out tremendously as well, too. And with an expanding footprint for us, 27 states at this point, we seem to add a couple of states every few months, it seems like. We've got quite a geographic footprint to worry about. And so having the backing of the American Staffing Association, being able to, and kind of a dovetailing into it from a leadership perspective, being able to network and spend time with some of the top minds in the industry. I mean, again, it's a bit self-serving. I do give back in my actions, but I personally benefit from the opportunities to spend time with people that have been in the industry for years and years. At the last Staffing World event, I had the opportunity to spend a little time with some folks that are truly historical figures within the staffing industry. And so, being, you know, people with 50-year plus tenure, past presidents of the ASA and chairman of the board, chairwoman of the board of the ASA, being able to spend even a little bit of time with them is truly invaluable. So again, the opportunity to spend time to really listen, to take those bits of wisdom, apply them in the day to day, just absolutely invaluable. You can't recreate that really anywhere else.
So true. Before we let you go here, the final thing I want to talk about, we started this conversation talking about growth and how successful you guys have been with growing At Work. I want to kind of flip it around the other side now and say, what's your biggest roadblock to continue this growth?
You know, it's funny because the economy right now is doing absolutely, it's doing phenomenal. It continues to perform very well. It's scary how well it's performing and for how long it's performing. Yeah. I think the last couple of headlines I've seen from ASA and SIA both have suggested that we're well beyond time for a little bit of a downturn, which is great. I'm not complaining about that, but because of that, I guess I'll steal the term that the economy is at a point where it seems like it may be overheating a bit in the jobs market, in the sense that there's a massive, massive talent shortage. Yeah. And so some of the challenges, obviously, is when you come into a market where we used to say somebody, you know, opening a franchise, opening a new staffing branch, it's all about sales. You got to get out there. You got to make an impact on sales. The candidates will follow. If you have the job orders, the people, you'll be able to get people behind them, great people into those roles. You know, now the recruiting challenges are almost as difficult as the startup sales challenges. So you've got to really balance that and adjust the sales accordingly. And that's really the sales, as in you're like the wind in your sails, if you will, adjust how you're performing in the branch. You've got to be able to really look at how to focus your recruiting activities, keep those pipelines filled. I literally was just talking about this subject with some of our franchise development and training team members before I walked onto this call, around how to build those metrics, how to build those structured processes from a recruiting perspective, almost replicating sales process outlines for recruiting, step-by-step, you know, kind of process to recruit and keep that pipeline full. So, you know, as the economy continues to stay positive, it's a good thing. It's creating just a massive, massive shortage. I can tell you, geez, if we could have an infinite talent supply and immediately put them to work in all of our branches, I wouldn't be surprised if we'd grow 30% from just that alone.
Yeah.
I think almost every branch we pull has open and unfilled job orders. If we could just fill them all today, it would be just absolutely phenomenal. So again, that's some of the challenge, obviously, for us, scarcity and talent on the franchise or franchisee owner side. So to find, you know, those people who want to invest in a business, that's always a challenge. It always has been. It always will be. Mm-hmm. That doesn't get, you know, any easier. But obviously the conditions in the staffing industry help make the process a better one. And I was really encouraged to see some of the recent news headlines that ASA and I believe SIA both put out with the temp growth numbers continue to be up in many of the industries that we're playing in. So again, I think the challenge continues to be, as long as the economy keeps performing as it currently does, it's talent shortages is the one thing that kind of keeps us up at night, if you will.
It seems to be an ongoing theme of every single one of these episodes that we've done here, is that talent shortage and trying to find great candidates. And
it's funny because everybody has that challenge.
Yeah.
So for me, I've challenged myself as, okay, how do we think outside of the box? And I don't mean to birdwalk a bit on you, but how do you think outside of the box? the industry as a whole has very much approached the talent, you know, the recruiting, you know, means of recruiting in very similar ways. And not to say that I have the perfect answers today, but again, I've challenged myself to how do we think outside of the box? How do we engage talent, potential talent, prospective employees differently, different than other staffing firms, potentially different than other employers? I don't know. That's to be determined, but I think that is a dynamic that is shifting tremendously as we see millennials mature, that workforce continue to mature and get older, get more experience, get into the workforce and, you know, hopefully stabilize. We'll see more of that. But then the generation behind them, you know, what does that generation have in store for us from the standpoint of engagement? How do we continue to build that talent pipeline and keep that in mind? So again, it's something that for us, I really want to tackle that head on and see how do we change the game? How do we change the paradigm a bit in the industry and recruiting in general? Because I think we need to. There's got to be a shift.
Yeah, I think the next 2-3 years are going to be really crucial for the staffing industry. I think we're going to see a ton of change on the technology side of things and how we communicate with candidates and with clients. It's an exciting time in the staffing industry, I think. We're going to see a lot of change here in the coming months and years.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about it.
He's Jason Leverant. He is the president COO of At Work Personnel Services. Jason, I want to thank you so much for your time today and sharing your unique experience with managing multiple franchises all over the country. Best of success to you and everyone at Work. And thank you again for sharing your experiences and spending some time with us today.
Awesome, Todd. Thanks for the opportunity. Thanks for the great questions and the lively discussion.
Well, what do you know? The topic of talent shortage came up again. It's the ongoing theme of this podcast, I think. If you've been a regular listener and you've heard most of our episodes, it certainly is the number one concern, the number one issue, the number one challenge in the staffing industry right now is finding great talent. I think I'm stating the obvious there. But I liked his approach to it where he said, you know, developing a sales process for recruiting. And then that's something that we've talked about too on this show is treating your candidates like a client and creating a great experience for them, making them feel like they're important. I was thinking the other day, I heard a commercial on the radio for a virtual receptionist. And, you know, for, you know, how frustrating it can be when you call a company and you get the automated message. And I can't tell you how many clients over the years that I've called and you're faced with that. And a lot of times it's, not sure what the contact's extension is. So you have to go through a whole menu of options and type in their name. And, you know, you wind up being 3-4 minutes late for a call because you're stuck in automated voicemail hell there. And think about what that says to not just potential clients and prospects, but also to candidates. You know, what are you saying to your candidates that, we're going to put you through this whole maze of trying to get to somebody just to talk with a recruiter to come in about a job? So you have to take a really good hard look at how you treat your candidates. You know, I've had clients in the past who've said they don't want to market to candidates because they don't want candidates calling them. You're in the candidate business. Why would you not want potential candidates calling you and trying to apply with your company? It blows my mind. And it blows my mind today when I hear candidates or when I talk to clients and they say, well, you know, we can't find any candidates. All right, well, let's talk about doing some candidate marketing. Oh, well, I don't want to do that. Okay. As an industry here, we need to realize that we need to be spending some serious time and possibly some serious money on recruiting. If this is the number one issue right now, if this is what's keeping you up at night, you really have to say, what are we doing to find great talent? And I loved his point about making it a process, just like you would a sales process, just how you would treat a client or a prospect, treat your candidates the same exact way. So I love that there. It's the ongoing theme of this show. But again, my thanks to Jason Leverant from At Work. You can check them out at atwork.com. It's atwork.com. And of course, you can check us out at haleymarketing.com. You can follow us on Twitter at haleymarketing. And you can always go to our website. You can go to iTunes. You can go to Google Play. You can go to Stitcher to find all of our past episodes of Secrets of Staffing Success. If you have any questions, if you have any topics, if you have any suggestions for guests that you'd like to see on the show, please feel free to email me, todd@haleymarketing.com. Thanks for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks with another great episode of Secrets of Staffing Success.